9 U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq this week. 31 soldiers died this month in combat and in accidents in Iraq. Analysts say the continued security challenges in Iraq likely will force the Pentagon to keep a larger number of U.S. troops in Iraq and for a longer period of time than originally hoped for. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
In February, the U.S. Army's outgoing chief of staff, Eric Shinseki, told Congress the U.S. might need several hundred thousand American forces to secure post-war Iraq. The remark quickly brought a public scolding from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
The idea that it would take several hundred thousand U.S. forces is far from the mark.
Currently, there are more than 160,000 U.S. and British ground forces in Iraq and thousands more supporting them in Kuwait. And Secretary Rumsfeld now says it's really not clear how many troops will be needed and for how long. One Pentagon official told NPR the numbers may go up or down over the next few months, but troop deployments, the official said, will continue to be event-driven. And right now, events in Iraq certainly translate into a larger U.S. force for more time than the Pentagon had originally hoped for, says Army General Butch Funk, the retired commander of the 3rd Armored Tank Division.
I just don't think that we believe the people with the experience. Consequently, we underestimated the need, and now it's sort of like, you know, if you don't start off strong and then gradually draw down, you're probably going to have to build up, and you're going to have to stay strong in that area longer.
The debate comes as the Army faces pressure to adapt to Secretary Rumsfeld's vision of a more agile fighting force, able to deploy more quickly to hotspots around the world and decrease the U.S. military's global footprint. In real terms, the latest Pentagon budget is 10% higher than average Cold War defense spending. But General Funk worries that in human costs, the U.S. can't maintain both enough combat-ready troops and a large on-the-ground presence in Afghanistan and Iraq.
If you just look at the numbers, you'll see that right now we're tapped out. We cannot sustain this pace with the force structure we have and this is where I think the danger lies, maintain a top warfighting army.
In one example, the continued fighting in Iraq means an extended deployment for the Army's 3rd Infantry Division, which fought its way northward from Kuwait and led U.S. forces into Baghdad early last month.
Someone was yelling, you know, get the truck, it's been shooting. So we shot it, took them out.
3rd Infantry soldiers were the first in theater, and they'd hoped to be back on Georgia soil, where they're based, by June. Now, with continued unrest, there are no immediate plans to send the division home. Army Lieutenant General David McKiernan said Thursday that if necessary, the division's combat-experienced troops might be used to reinforce American soldiers in trouble areas around Iraq.
Their withdrawal or redeployment was always a conditions-based event. It wasn't set to a particular date. I am looking with the 5th Corps commander on different options, and if we need to apply some of the combat power of the 3rd Infantry Division elsewhere in Iraq, we will certainly not hesitate to do that.
The 3rd Infantry Division soldiers will salute and carry on with their mission, but many of them have now been away for 9 months or more. And retired Army Colonel Dan Smith says it was poor planning to keep so many of the Army trigger pullers in Baghdad after major combat had ended.
They spent 3 weeks fighting their way across Iraq, destroying things and killing people, and to suddenly turn around and say, okay, guys, now you act like policemen with no break, I think was just terrible.
And some at the Pentagon worry that frequent, prolonged deployments across the military risk undermining morale and damaging reenlistment rates. Meantime, many family members of 3rd Infantry Division soldiers are crestfallen by the delay. The wife of one soldier told NPR, "My husband's exhausted, sick of Iraq, and thinks he's done more than his share for Operation Iraqi Freedom." Susan Wilder is family readiness coordinator at Fort Stewart, Georgia, where the division is based.
For a lot of families, this is one of their first real deployments. The families are now sitting and waiting on those soldiers to return, and we don't have redeployment dates, and that makes it incredibly difficult.
Wilder says base officials are thinking of expanding their already extensive support programs for families due to heightened frustration that their soldiers aren't home yet and that people aren't sure when they will be. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.